Welcome to A Course in Miracles. I'm sorry, you guys wouldn't believe me if I told you what just happened. It just sounds like I made it up. It involved ducks. Let me just say, it involved a lot of ducks. Literally. I'm telling you, if I tell you a story, you won't believe me. All right. Sorry about the delay. Oh, okay. I mean, I live in the mountains. There aren't any ducks up here, right? Now there are ducks. I got a neighbor whose friend thought it was clever to give him ducks for his wedding, and he's been stuck with them ever since. And now they're multiplying, and now they're getting out. And he's not here. He's like traveling someplace else. First time I've ever seen him. Okay, so.
He doesn't have his ducks in a row.
If they were in a row, yeah. They're scattered all over my driveway at the base, and all the neighbors are stopping and congregating, and they're throwing seeds out and bringing water dishes and worried because they've never seen ducks before in the mountains. They think, well, somebody just dumped them here. Okay. Ducks. Okay, yeah. Actually, we really want to cover this, Carrie. We have the perfect time. I'm going to skip the meditation tonight so we can jump right into the meat. We'll take what I like to call, and I think you should all try this on your own every once in a while. I call it the 17-second reset. 17 seconds. If you can hold your mind still for 17 seconds, completely still, it could be the same effect as 45 minutes of very pointed contemplation. Sometimes when you set yourself up for a meditation, you expect to spend time trying. And so your ego says, fine, I got a playground. And I can make your mind wander and give you other things to think about. And then you can try to put me away so you can have a moment of stillness. How about if we just start with the stillness and then forget about it? I learned to do this. I literally have a little timer here. You could use the one that half of you have ordered my timer suddenly. I've mailed out a bunch of them. You can just put 17 seconds right on the timer. When I say go, it's only going to be 17 seconds. So don't mess around. Just take a breath and go still. You can do that for 17 seconds. You see what I mean? Ready? Go. That's it. That's a little window. Do you see how much time that was? We never talked about this with this group before, so let me tell you how much time that was that you just had to experience the infinite present. 1001, 1002, 1003, 1004, 1005, 1006, 1007, 1008, 1,000, check your watch, right? 1,009, 1,010, we're over halfway. 1,011, 1,012, 1,013, 1,014, 1,015. There's still 1,016 and yet 1,017. Do you see that was 17,000 milliseconds? That was all sorts of time. In only 17 seconds, and you just need one full second of stillness to return yourself to the holy instant. And even a second is more than you need. Want to do it again? When I say
I want to say something about the first time we did it.
Sure, go ahead.
It didn't feel like any time at all.
Well, it was your first time, too.
I said, who's
but it was over, right? I mean, that it was almost no time at all means you can really do it, right? You don't put up a 17 seconds of silence. You can do it. It's over before it starts practically. That should give you courage to really drop everything.
And I,
Barbara,
yeah. This might be related, and you can say we'll talk about that later. That doesn't have anything to do with this. But I am at the point in the lessons where you're supposed to set aside 5 minutes every hour. And some days I can do that, and other days I can't. But, you know, and so what you're bringing up right now is a good alternative, it seems like, when you can't get those 5 minutes, though yeah. I'm trying.
Absolutely.
But one thing that I default to when I can't get the 5 minutes every hour is I just repeat the lesson of the day, like God's will for me is perfect happiness. Over and over and over, kind of like a mantra. I mean, I know mantras are supposed to be one syllable kinds of things. It's not that I'm trying to make it a mantra. It's just
hey, Ross, will you call the mantra police and get him over to her house as soon as possible? There's no rules like that.
I know there's no rules. I'm just saying that repeating the lesson is a way for me to quiet my mind. And
let me, yeah, you bet, Barbara. Barbara, it says 5 minutes, and elsewhere it says 15 minutes.
Yes.
The reason why it says 5 minutes or 15 minutes is because you can't do it in 17 seconds normally. It 17 seconds is about 17 times more than you actually need were you at peace.
Right.
It knows you're not at peace. It knows that your mind is monkey mind. And so Jesus looks at the lesson and he looks at where your ego mind is. He says, well, this is a 5 minute one, but it's every hour. This is only twice a day. Once mm-hmm. in the morning, once in the evening. Any more than that would be too much.
Mm-hmm.
For the beginner mind. But what he's after is not 5 minutes of perfection. He's after one holy instant.
Right.
Around the topic.
Right.
So do what you can and be accident prone by doing the mantra, by saying it over and over, by taking some reminder. I write up with a ballpoint pen. I write right here on my hand, the first letter of each word of the sentence of the lesson of the day.
Well, that's good. I like that.
Let's see your hand.
Well, I'm not doing the lessons this year. But that works. Then I have no excuses.
Yeah.
I have an app for my phone, and it's got, it has a timer built in, and then it has like an abbreviated, like it has one paragraph of the lesson that you recite it during those 5 minutes, or you read it. And as Andrew says, reading it out loud is really powerful.
Yeah.
But it's not the whole lesson. In a lot of cases, it's a little paragraph.
So yeah.
I don't even know where I got it from, but that's what I've been using to do the lessons, let's say, because you know, you read it, it says, what does it say? It says, reminder text is what it says.
Yeah, that's different. So that's the one little paragraph. There is, Jesus will say specifically on the hour or the half an hour, say these words. And those yeah. often are a partial paragraph or the italics from the lesson.
Yeah.
And so you bet. However, I mean, and I should say and, because, you know, that's great. And your second, third, fourth time through, you have already got the first level. Remember I say there's about 7 levels of teaching in a course? You've got the first 1, 2, 3 levels that are in those italics there. But Jesus has planted more in the text, additional levels. And so,
wait, did you say in the text?
I said text, didn't I? I meant the text of the lesson.
Okay.
The other paragraphs in the lesson. Like lesson 135, I think there must be 10 different unique teachings in that, the longest lesson in the entire workbook. They're all worthy of an entire day of study. And that's why you can go back around and around and you'll find these little jewels and they'll talk to you because you're dealing with your this or you're dealing with your that each different year, and there'll be a different sentence. Not necessarily the main burden of the lesson will speak to you. It may be one of those smaller sentences. that has the word patience in it. And that wasn't even in the lesson title. And so, yeah, you can pull out your lesson from the lesson in the later years. However, what Ross is talking about, I do recommend that you do absolutely the first time through so that you can get the curriculum as it's written.
Yeah, I don't even remember where I got the app now.
Yeah, there's several of them out there. Yeah, yeah. FIP's got a good one and so on.
It's really handy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It has a time. Well, it has a timer, but as we know, if it's on your phone, then that's problematic. But I have a watch that the ACM alert beeps on my watch.
Yep, that's good.
So then I can go back to the phone and go, okay.
That's good. That's good. So for the 3-4 of you who got the timer.
Yeah, that works.
That, the timer that I saw on my website, it's, you know, independent of your cell phone. It has 2 timers inside one. Just let you, so there's a seconds, you know, seconds, minutes, and then there's hours, minutes. Minutes, seconds, and hours, minutes. You can set 1 to 5 minutes and 0 seconds, and the other 1 to 0 hours and 15 minutes, for example. Now you have a 15-minute timer and a 5-minute timer running at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Good.
And they'll both beep, and you just hit the button once to turn it off and once again to restart it. That's it.
Great.
And so that's you just no excuses. No excuses.
Yeah, I'm going to smash it when you complete it.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can put it on vibrate so it's quiet and all that. Okay. All right. You know what? Let's have 17 seconds of reset before we jump into these powerful, powerful words we're going to study tonight. You know you can do it. It's only 17 seconds. It'll be done before you even get started unless you start at the beginning, fully engaged and just going still. Just go still. Ready? Go. That's it. A nice little window to jump through. I found it amazingly useful. You practice this a bit and you just you arrest yourself from doing anything because you only got 16 seconds left when you heard the thing go off.
Why 17 seconds?
Oh, I heard it mentioned once by another spiritual somebody, Abraham Hicks or one of those people. I had a friend who was really into that and they said 17 seconds of whatever was something. So I said, wait a minute. I like that number. 17 seconds stillness. I like it. Okay. Take a look. Luann, I'm going to have you start reading. Take a look on page 450 in the text.
Which paragraph? The first one.
You guys should have heard this guy talking about the ducks that was given to him on his wedding day years ago that he's been burdened with ever since. He's like, oh, yeah, okay. Hey, I got you some ducks for your wedding.
Maybe you could just give him a recipe.
Really? Right. Right. Oh, God. Oh, there may be more to that story.
The first paragraph.
Yeah, we have mountain lions up here, bobcats and coyotes and all sorts of stuff. Okay, this is paragraph 9.
We have already said that wishful thinking is how the ego deals with what it wants to make it so. Is there supposed to be a comma in there somewhere besides?
There's a comma after wants, or at least there is in my book.
Yeah, but okay. There's no better demonstration of the power of wanting and therefore of faith to make its goal seem real and possible. Faith in the unreal leads to adjustments of reality to make it fit the goal of madness. The goal of sin touches the perception of a fearful world to justify its purpose. What you desire, you will see. And if its reality is false, you will uphold it by not realizing all the adjustments you have introduced to make it so.
Okay, first point is that the Course in Miracles is talking once again about the power, the one power that you're misusing. You did it to make the ego. You did it to make the world. You've been using it to navigate the world, trying to find love where there is none. You've been hungry now using the one power. What is the power? Well, here, let me emphasize the word here and now, living in a body in a limited state of existence, here, the power is called choice. It's called choice here, where you have absolutely boxed yourself in to how little you can really do with your mind from Jesus' perspective. Now, outside of here, what is this power really called? This power is creation. This power is movement of capital M mind, which is the activating agent of spirit. That's the power that you have been invested in by God. You've used it to make a very little box where you're sitting now. And now your only choice left, your only power left is choice. So you can choose one of two voices to get out of the bag, to get out of the bag that you're in, called time, space, body, separation. This is what he's talking about also in this paragraph. He says, we've already said that wishful thinking is how the ego deals with what it wants to make, keyword, doesn't say create, because the ego doesn't create. It's all a string of making, like dreaming. To dream, to make something in a dream means that you dreamed that you were making it, right? It cannot go outside of the dream. So this is the domain of the ego. It wishes and it makes. Now, elsewhere in the book, those same powers are referenced with different words, remember? Wish in your right mind becomes will. And when you will, it's done because of what you are. And make in your right mind becomes create because of what you are, a creator, an extension of God. And what you think is done because you
he's off chasing ducks.
Yeah, this happened last
frozen,
night.
It's frozen, right?
Yeah, it's frozen.
Okay.
He had this trouble last night. He'll come on and not know that he was frozen.
Oh, okay.
Depending on how long.
What?
You've been frozen.
You've been frozen for 15 seconds. We heard nothing. This happened last night, too, but nobody was kind enough to tell you.
Too bad we didn't go in 2 seconds.
I just got the message. Your
17 seconds, yeah.
Your connection is unstable. What I was saying is that those two-sided coins we're dealing with here, when the ego's version of the use of choice is to wish or to make. The holy version, the oneness version of the same power, it's not wish, it's will. When it's will, it's done because of what you are. And the capital M mind use of what would be make to the ego, in reality, it's create. Not here. You can't create inside of a dream. Inside of a dream, you dream. And so you dream of creating. So you just make another dream, an extension of the dream. But when you go beyond this limit, this is what's waiting for you. When you return your mind back to wholeness, you regain your power of creation, your awareness of an extension of source. And then you will instead of wish, and you create instead of make. This is what awaits you. It's so limited here. Ross.
Before you got on, we were talking a little bit about, well, I was, I was talking a little bit about manifesting and you know how that manifesting is just making a better dream. And just because you've manifested, you know, like I used to manifest, oh, I'd like to have checks in the mail. And so I would get checks in the mail, checks in the mail, checks in the mail. Because I was manifesting it and doing things in the world to get checks in the mail. It was fun, but I was just saying, don't confuse that with what the goal of the course is. It's just a fun little thing to play with.
Yes.
Manifesting, or what does it say here? Wishful thinking is how the ego deals with what it wants to make it so. You can do all sorts of things in the dream to make it a better dream. Just don't confuse that with, I mean, I'm looking for you to agree.
I'm totally agreeing with you. Jacqueline.
And Jacqueline's got her hand up. So I'll shut up because I went on and on. Before you got on.
Yeah, it's like we're talking about the secret, right? You know, the secret.
Thanks for covering it for me, Ross.
Secret.
Yeah, the secret, right?
Nothing wrong with that. Don't confuse it with spirit, with the course, though.
It's not evil.
No, nothing wrong with it.
So, Andrew, you said, okay, we can't, as creators, we can't create in the dream, right?
Correct.
You don't create in the dream. And we're going to return, we are already, but we'll, I guess, rise into the awareness of being. But, you know, what do we create? I mean, how can creation or awareness of being creators have anything? What can we, I mean, how could we somehow, can it participate in this dream at all, being a true creator?
You
coming from the source. You know, yes. You know, I'm trying to understand this. We said we can't create in the dream. Yes. And I'm thinking, well, what do we create when we go back to God? Well, we won't know till we're there or we're aware that we're there.
Yes.
But I'm just sort of wondering about this.
Okay. Are you ready for the answer? It's only one word and it's quite short. And you might miss it if I don't put just this padding that I'm saying right now around it to slow us down. Her question was, what can we possibly create? If this didn't work, what would? And the answer is anything, Jacqueline. Absolutely anything, including a dream of separation. And the proof is it's working now. It is not a creation. What you've made is like a roller coaster ride. It's like you're in a car and you're going somewhere, but you're not actually, you end up where you started. It didn't go anywhere. You get in a real car and you put some gas in it and you could get lost and live a whole life in Mexico trying to find your way home, right? It's very different than the roller coaster. The world was a use of mind that you ended up going in a very, very small, limited fashion, exploring with creative choices. You had to leave the creative effect behind. Just like Hollywood. Hollywood, very creative. It uses creative choices, but not to make permanent endowments anywhere, but to make up illusory things that disappear if you don't turn them on, watch them, and then pretend they're real. Ross.
It's funny that you brought that up, Jacqueline. I was reading Ken Wapnick's Journey Through the Workbook today, and in his introduction, it talks a little bit about what your question was. He refers to, workbook 169, where it says God is. And then he goes on, if I may, it's one short paragraph, if that wouldn't be too much.
Go ahead. I'll look up a reference I'm thinking of.
Within this oneness, love continually extends itself. God extending his self to his self. called Christ. This is the course's definition of creation. Christ, being part of God, shares in his creator's ability to create, and his extensions are known as creations. All this, of course, occurs in a reality that has no time or space, being totally at one within itself. So it's hard to follow because...
So let me bring it more present. Course talks about the only creations that you can that are real here are the thoughts of love. Mm-hmm. They're very, very different than every other thought that you have. Let's do a quick demonstration of what I mean. Please look at Jason on your screen. Can everybody see Jason? I would just like you to spend 17 seconds here, and I want you to send Jason energy and thoughts of loving kindness and care so that he can feel supported by all of you and all the angels that might be listening to you as you move your mind toward him with a kindness that I feel in my heart, wishing for Jason a really, really good night's sleep, a real sense of wholeness and purpose, and that he is himself one of the angels that would extend God's thoughts and God's love and will continue to do so forever.
So you're talking about just thoughts, not words.
He would know that. That he would know that. Just thoughts. Send him those thoughts. Look at him right now and wish for him tonight a really, really restful night's sleep. That his heart will overflow with this experience. He totally deserves it. I'm telling you, this guy deserves it. And I love him. And you're all loving him right now. Selfless giving to this man at least a few moments of real certainty, of joy and purpose. That's kindness. You allowed yourself to love for a moment. If you did this, you felt it. I felt it. The more you mean it, the more you feel it. That's invisible. And so that's just a glimpse of what creation is. Creation is so aligned with everything involved that it's permanent. It sticks around. Barbara?
Within the last couple of days, the lesson was, I am essential to God's plan for salvation. Right. And that day, I really identified with essential. That every thought I have, and this is also addressing what you were asking, Jacqueline, that I am essential. My thoughts, where I put my thoughts, is essential, and it's a choice thought by thought.
Yep.
And so that repetition that day of sitting for the 5 minutes every hour and then reminding myself is, it was a pleasure to remind myself that it was a pleasure and a practice to remind myself. I mean, we've talked so much about essential workers, right? You know, during COVID, and we're all essential workers.
And that word essence, essence in the base of that word, essential and essence,
it seems.
That means it's at the base, at the core of the being of that, of God.
So that feels like creation. You know, and it talks about how the Holy Spirit,
you know, all that's creation.
That
you are an extension of God in truth.
Right.
So that's creation. You are creation. You are a miracle.
And we're doing it in the dream.
And in the dream, we're getting pretty creative. Ross?
Well, just to share something that, yeah, it's kind of, it might sound weird or whatever, but I was just camping with a group of people, and just this feeling of love overwhelmed me, and it was like I couldn't contain it, and it was just overflowing into all the people in the camp out, and I was just sitting there going, oh, this is really weird. I'll just keep my mouth shut and just let it go, because
nice.
It was just this, and you know,
beautiful, Ross. I was
making it up or whatever, but it sure felt amazing, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. And
I feel it.
Anyway.
It's a, yes. That's the veil got pushed aside there, Ross.
Well, it was similar to what you were asking us to do with Jason, so I thought I'd bring it up.
Beautiful. Thank you. That was I love that story.
Sounds kind of unicorns and rainbows. But,
yeah. You can't deny how it made you feel, though.
No.
That's a holy instant that cannot be taken away from you no matter what happens. And this is this is one of the great rays has touched your life. A great ray of understanding of what's really going on is leaked through.
I usually don't talk about stuff like that because it just sounds like it sounds and it feels like you're making it up, and
yep.
You could make it up.
Yep.
So I usually don't talk about stuff like that. But you had us do the exercise, and I was like, well, we're kind of on the subject. So.
It's
thank you for sharing that stuff that you don't usually talk about.
Yeah.
Because it's the real stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I've had nights where I've just been filled with, like, bliss, where it's just like I'm just so blissed out, and it has lasted for hours. And I just don't talk about it because it's like, well, all right, whatever. It's just, I was blissed out for a couple of hours and just, okay, it happened. And yeah,
you've heard that little triad.
You could easily make it up, or you could easily, you know, like my son, oh, well, that was just dopamine. And I go, well, all right, tell me it was dopamine, but no, it wasn't.
So there's a, if I may talk about that experience, see if it fits for you. Something very, very pure about those moments, and especially because there's not a good reason.
No.
I mean, there's a reason, but not for that.
No.
Not for that level of experience.
Feeling good for no good reason.
So here's your menu. Somebody wrote a book on this. All you need is a title. I don't know if this is a title even, but all you need is a sentence. Here's your whole menu of happiness. One is be happy for the wrong reasons. And that's like drugs or, you know, somebody else's troubles made you happy. It was so funny to watch them hurt themselves. Happy for the wrong reasons. But it still can make you laugh and you can kind of get excited, right? Or here's the next item on the menu. Happy for the right reasons. Somebody did well. You helped. They asked you to help. A chance for you came up so that you could be loving. And you were. Or you got good grades at school. Or your kid got good grades at school. Or you got a discount at the store. You just, something good happened. And you received it. And you said thank you. And it made you happy. That's a very nice circle, isn't it? That's happy for the right reasons. And it's very good. Here's the one you really want. Happy for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think Ross was talking about.
Yep.
It was way beyond any justification for just those people. It was really just bliss for happy hearts connecting without being able to keep up with it.
Yep.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Yes, remember that. For meditate on that, celebrate that. Don't ever try to return there, but do remember it and just enjoy it. If it happens again, great. But that's not ever to be your goal.
Nope.
Good, good. Love it. I love it. Look at page 112 in the text. Way up in chapter 7. So much early groundwork was done by Jesus in these, the first 9 chapters. Man, did he lay it on Helen and Bill. I mean, the first 9 chapters, 48,000 words were removed. 48,000 words were removed from the original, from the text. To try to put together something that they thought was coherent and that you could put it in a book. Well, the Urtex has got them all. And it's more. So, Barbara, see, I'll get you a copy as soon as I get back to printing them up. My printer went out of business.
I found it online.
Yes, you can get it online.
Yeah.
In some forms, you can also get... the original notes, which is too much. I don't think it's as for me as helpful. From Circle of Atonement has even more and printed in a very nice book. The Urtext is just Helen and Bill's first draft of typing her notes all out, and it's got everything in it, and it's typewritten full size pages, and you actually look at her typewriter, you know, marks and her diacritical. I love to. Handling it even, but it's got 48,000 more words of chat between Helen and Jesus. And
yeah, I found it. It has things like it'll say like, "Tell Bill that he was right about X," or
"Yes,
tell Bill that Jonathan this, that, and the other thing."
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wow. Okay, I see why they removed it.
Yeah, and a few comments about sex and Freud and Hitler and everything. You know, it's got a chat. Anyway, so look at paragraph 3. And Jacqueline, I got your mute. Would you read for us paragraph 3 on page 112 when we're talking about creations?
Your creations belong in you as you belong in God. You are part of God, as your sons are part of his sons. To create is to love. Love extends outwards simply because it cannot be contained. Being limitless, it does not stop. It creates forever, but not in time. God's creations have always been because he has always been. Your creations have always been because you can create only as God creates. Eternity is yours because he created you eternal.
Yes. This gives you a feel of what creations are. You're inside of a dream where you can't actually create. Eternal is not possible in time. Very simply, because eternity means that there is no time. Not that there's more time. Not that time goes on forever. Watch your mind. Don't let your spiritual ego think that eternal in the context of A Course in Miracles means that time just ticks on forever.
Yeah.
I think of it as being within the holy instant.
Yeah, right?
The holy instant is eternal.
Right?
Eternity.
One instant forever. Not. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And you can look at it many, 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 many infinite number of times.
Adyashanti said one time that he thought eternal initially was, that's just a really, really long time, eternal. Like the eternal wait at the DMV or something. Yeah, it's not a good at all.
Very innocent and natural. Jason?
Well, it makes sense. I don't know what they call it, but there's no time like the present. Right?
Right.
We're in a dream, so there's no time.
Yeah. Beautifully said, Jason. Well put. I think that should be on a pin. Look at this paragraph. Your creations belong in you. The reason why he says that is because the ego tries to make things outside of you and call that worthy and proof that you created something. You see how backwards this suddenly, right away, it's exactly backwards of the truth. Then he explains it more. He says, your creations belong in you as you belong in God. The reason why he says that is because your whole dream of separation is so that you would belong outside of God, away from God's influence. It's just a fantastic, and I mean fantastic in every meaning of the word, effort to be more than individuated, to be separate and have your own God somehow. It's not evil. It's a great, fun, go for it. If you can do it with full love, then you could create it, Jacqueline. You really could make a world of separate beings with pet dogs, and they smile a lot and sometimes attack each other. If you could do it with love, because that's what you actually are. That's what God actually is. You cannot be what you're not. And you are love. You are God's extension of joy, happiness, and life. Keywords, you are that. If you can make a world including that, you can keep it forever. So far you haven't, but it doesn't mean you can't keep trying and have a blast doing it. It's become too painful for you now, and you want to go home and look at the blueprints again. That's what's happening. Doesn't mean you'll ever be stopped from ever trying as many times as you want. And you might go to do some lesser creations that you can keep, but I'll tell you, the rules of creation are pointed right here in this paragraph. Look what he says.
Sometimes I think we we're, as God's child, we are separate from God. And you just said something that made me think, if Christ is in God, then Christ is God just as much as, well, I shouldn't even say just as much as God, Christ is God.
Just as much. You bet. Christ is the extension of God as God extended. Not pinched off to survive separate, but an actual extension of everything God is.
Mm-hmm. So it really is, this extension just is the widening nature, the bigger nature, I can't even say it, the infinite nature of God.
It is the infinite nature of God. And we've tried to make it non-infinite and non-eternal. It's been fun. I've enjoyed myself. But I think I'm ready to get back to the truth. I realize it's not true now. I realize my investment in separation is not true. And that's why I have turned tail and I'm heading back toward truth. I like your new look, Sundari. Wow.
I've just been working in the field for 3 days and just walked in the door.
Yes, exactly. I hope you tied your camel. We're on page 112, paragraph 3. I think you'll get a real kick out of that paragraph, Sundari, in the text.
Oh.
There's so much in this. This is just the first one. I have like 8 other paragraphs on creation, but we certainly won't be able to get to them tonight. But just because you brought it up, Jacqueline. Sentence 2, explaining what we just said. So we are all on the right page here. Sentence 2, you are part of God. As your sons are part of his sons. The many branches come from one tree. And the leaves come from the branches that come from the tree. Therefore, the leaves come from the tree.
Yeah.
All then I would answer Jacqueline's question by saying, when we create love, we are as God creating. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Yes, yes. And that's why Course is careful with the word make and create. When you create, it's forever. And when you make, you're just playing with the power of mind. You're actually not thinking at all, it says in the workbook. You're really just like you're on the chalkboard drawing up things you might do someday compared to creation. Jacqueline.
So, and being in form, you know, with an ego, it seems to me that other than holy incense, like Ross experienced, it's pretty tough to love completely, totally unconditional. I mean, that would be the creation. That would be the only thing that could be created here, right?
That is correct.
So, but even if it's a pale shadow of it, still loving.
Yes. The contents of it, the Course says, are kept for you forever.
Yes. Yeah, so there's
The loving thoughts, like Ross's experience, mm-hmm. and maybe even the experience you had with Jason earlier, I asked you to do earlier in the meeting, you might keep a piece of that forever.
So what I want to know, Andrew, is how do you sit in love when you're talking? Because I have a hard time when you're telling us to love, to feel love. I'm trying to listen to what you're saying and feeling love at the same time. And I'm in and out, in and out, in and out. When I was sending it to Jason, I could feel it on it, you know, but then the next thing I know, I was listening to you and not feeling it anymore. Then I had to go back to feeling it again. So it's hard for me to talk and love at the same time.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. You know, it has to be a conscious choice here because this is like you're an addict. Mm-hmm. And when you are in the world and being in the world and talking and forming sentences and things like that, you know, the most common thing is you use your ego to do that. And that's really a good use of the discipline of the ego, to use the right language, to use right facial expressions, to, you know, have a little bit of a consistent image to project, blah, blah, blah. It works really well for communication. It's not evil. Your content of your experience of love raises even when you use your ego. You start to use the ego less and less for a selfish purpose and more for a joining purpose, and then it becomes a communication device for love itself. Okay. Ross?
Well, I would say on sentence two that I don't understand it, no matter how many times I read it, but it kind of creates a feeling.
Yeah! Yes!
It just kind of creates a feeling of like, oh yeah, kind of this oneness feeling. But when I read those words, they don't make any sense to me. Yes. You are part of God as your sons are part of his sons.
Yes.
Well, wait a minute. I thought there was only one thing. And then, so what, my sons, part of his sons, how's his sons, but my son, what? But you know, if I stop trying to analyze
right?
it and just try to go with a feeling of, well, he's indicating oneness with symbols twice removed from reality. So yep. If I get some kind of
and you're getting it
out of that, then I'm on the right track. But I don't understand that with my intellectual mind, not one iota.
And I love it, Ross. Thank you for bringing that up, because at times like this, when go with the feeling instead of the thought. Right? Okay. Well, some people are very analytical, and they'll throw out the feeling, thinking if I can't understand it, I shouldn't be feeling it. You're not that person, thank goodness. So you can leave the careful word now, linear behind. A spiritual journey is one where you take non-linear steps. And Ross, you described it perfectly. Because you saw something, you felt something that was more certain than whatever your analytical mind would come up with, and you went with that. That's non-linear. That's a piece. Yeah, go ahead.
That's like a koan.
Yes, exactly.
There's
a con.
Sound of clapping. If you get an answer, you blew it.
Yes. It's a piece that goes beyond understanding. It's a true test of a revelation, and the Course is full of them if your mind's open for it. Sundari.
I just like that sentence, thinking about the holographic fractal nature of every little bit of everything, and just like how the little part contains the whole.
Well, little part contains the whole. Turn to page 332. Keep your finger on 112, though. We'll come back to this, finish Jacqueline's comment on creation, because it's so rich. Turn to page 332, paragraph 3. Little part contains the whole, Sundari says. Sundari's talking holographic nature.
And fractal.
And fractals.
Like sons of sons of sons, and each little bit containing all of God.
And it's perfectly representing the larger one. That's and then when it makes another one, it'll perfectly represent the, itself. Look at 332, paragraph 3. Tim, when you get there, I got your mute. Read for us paragraph 3 on page 332 of the text.
You got it. To you, the miracle cannot seem natural, because what you have done to hurt your mind has made it so unnatural that it does not remember what is natural to it. And when you are told what is natural, you can't understand it.
Just like what Ross is describing, but he was able to just go past the limits. I love what you said, Ross. It's beautiful. Please continue, Tim.
And when you are told what is natural, you can't understand it. The recognition of the part as whole and of the whole in every part, holograph, and of the whole in every part is perfectly natural, for it is the way God thinks, and what is natural to him is natural to you. Holy natural perception would allow you, would show you instantly that the order of difficulty in miracles is quite impossible, mm-hmm. for it involves a contradiction of what miracles mean. Mm-hmm. And if you could understand their meaning, their attributes could hardly cause you perplexity.
That's a whole night's discussion right there, but you guys brought it up, so I thought I'd point it out. Beautiful. Yeah.
What you were talking- I need to start reading this book all over again.
No kidding. I say that every year, 28 times so far. So sometimes multiple times.
So God within God within God within God within God is essentially what's being created by...
That would be creation, like Sundari was talking about, where it's a holographic, where each little piece actually can not only show you the whole, but reproduce the whole.
Yeah, but that reminds me of your analogy of the diamond.
Yes, you got it. Good memory. Good memory. Okay, back to 112. And Jacqueline's inquiry about creation. Sentence 3. I mean, we could talk more about sentence 2, but we're going to skip it. Sentence 3. To create is to love, period. End of teaching, end of message, end of sentence. He just tells you. He says, well, to create is to love. Now, love is one of those metaphysical things that your understanding will increase each time, as each step you take in your awakening, your ability to understand love increments with your awakening. Love is one of those things. Another one is life. The concept of life increments with your awakening. And another one would be a concept of being. It completely morphs as you start opening your eyes. I mean, there's just no way to say other than that, but you experience it. And a lot of times it happens after an event like what Ross described, because the telltale sign is, for me, is that my body can't contain it. I can't talk. I have to hide the tears. It's just coming up so much. It's kind of bubbling out. That's what I heard Ross describe. And you know, that's a little increment has occurred.
That, and that's the experience that I was talking about the other week when I said I had that experience of joy that I had to pull off the
floor.
And that was when my son was missing.
Talk
about not having a reason to feel that joy. There was no reason to feel that joy. And it just overcame me physically. So I totally get what you're talking about, Ross. It is a hard thing to explain. It's a hard thing for me to explain to myself that I had that in the midst of despair.
Yeah. Sometimes it happens when you run out of other things you're willing to do. In other words, with the despair of losing her son missing, for crying out loud, for 10 months or something. I mean, that's 10 months is more than 4 days, if you know what I mean.
It's 10 years.
Yes, that
is what it is.
That is a long time.
Yeah.
So what happens in the mind goes into a desert. And this can also happen, like, you know, maybe in Ross's beautiful circle he was in, there just wasn't anything wrong. There just wasn't anything wrong, anything for him to think about or to worry about. So he put down his guard for a few moments and boom, in came some light. You're driving your car and what else can you do? You know, it is a little moment of ego vulnerability, and the spirit took advantage of it and said, I'll shine some light here.
Yeah.
Or Eckhart Tolle's description of his awakening, where he had just like hit rock bottom with just so bound up with intellectual analysis, and he just broke and sat on a park bench for 6 months trying to integrate what he realized in just bam, a moment. So it can happen.
Course describes itself as an undoing. And if you're busy, if you really believe the world has more for you to do, like that movie, The Secret, you should get busy manifesting with your charts, your posters, hang up pictures of the car you want on the inside of the cabinet door so you get your socks or something. Oh, there's my car that you don't have yet. if that's fine, that's fine, but it's very busy. You're doing something. To be able to truly open your mind, it really is an undoing. And then you can have a non-linear altering experience like what we've been describing here tonight. Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, back on 112. Sentence 4. Love, by the way, in a book that says that it cannot teach the meaning of love on page 1, goes on to teach more love than any book I've ever seen anywhere, and at more depth and with more dimensions and applicability than I've ever seen anywhere. So he's very modest here, or there's more to love than I can imagine if he says this isn't good enough. Well, I digress. Sentence 4. Love extends outward simply because it cannot be contained. I like to think about love sometimes.
Wasn't that what you were saying when you asked us to send love to Jason? Extends outward. I mean, I'm feeling it inside, but hopefully he's getting that too. It's extending.
You know, hopefully he is. But that would not be the measure of its success, Luann.
Okay.
The ego says that you must project your love from your room 50 miles north to San Francisco and have it land in Jason's heart today, now. The ego says that cause and effect, that you have to have an effect separate from the cause and then prove that it worked. By Jason, then, somehow maybe a halo shows up in the back of his head because we were all focusing so much. Wow, it worked. Let's do it again. Who's next?
I'm quite sure that's how it works, but go ahead.
No, of course not. I'm kidding. Yeah, Jason's like, eh. You must realize that it's an inside job and you're calling for a miracle, a shift in perception about something you don't even understand. You don't understand his life. No. You don't even know if he's sleeping tonight. Maybe he's going to be all night in the vigil, you know, painting the post office or something. It's your intent to join, purely your intent to join, that evokes the love, especially if it's unreasonable. If the more reasonable it is, the more the ego can limit it. But for you just to give Jason a good night, I don't even know what that means, but I really want him to have a good night. Peaceful, full of purpose. Mind at rest, heart full, beautiful dreams.
Well, that's what I was trying to get at, is what I wanted for him also.
And then you feel it, right? You feel it. Okay, so that's non-linear. We don't know what he's going to do with it. Mm-hmm. He's a character in the dream, separate from you. So you allow that to be a complete experience, what you felt.
Right, absolutely. Like my one instance, it stands like Ross's does, or yes, did, and like Barbara's did, was the only thing I felt was love all around me. That's all.
Bingo, bingo. When you do that, you allow it to complete the circle of receiving. You have given and you have received.
Right.
And now it actually entered mind. It's been offered to mind. Yes, yes, yes. Sundari.
I think what you're saying is so important. I had such an experience of that, and I won't do a whole story, but when I was making a very difficult conversation with somebody, one of David Hoffmeister's people was sitting on a couch right there, and saying, I'm going to join you with you during this call. Not that they actually listened or anything. And it made all the difference. And I came to understand that in a funny way, the most you can do for someone, you know, people go through such tough things, and it feels like the gift that I can offer is simply saying, I'll join with you in what you're going through. I'm joining with you, sharing my light with yours. And that's what they did, and it was such a palpable difference from the way the conversation would have gone had they not been joined with me.
Yeah, you bet. Very good, Sundari. And that's especially useful for things that you don't either understand or you can't accept. For your children, for example, who do making decisions that you could never support, or politicians. However, you can still love in the way she described, to join with them with their essence. Your plan is essential to God's plan for salvation. The ego's plan for salvation has specific outcomes. God's plan has immediate outcome. And the circle of love is completed, Luann, with the giving of it. Good, good, good. Paragraph 3, just a few more sentences before we get back and complete our reading. We're just going to pull this night off. Ducks and all. Okay. Sentence 5, being limitless. Wow. There is another description in a single word buried inside the paragraph that defines creation. Just dropped as if, you know, everybody knows that creations are limitless. Take note. Take note. Being limitless, it does not stop. This is love we're talking about. This is creation we're talking about. It does not stop being limitless. That's a condition that's foreign to this world and to the dream. See, the dream only exists as you keep thinking of it and remaking it. It does not have any eternal nature. It's so small here. Once you get an idea of the idea of eternity and the expansiveness of infinity and the alignment with what is, instead of trying making what isn't, you can't resist. You can't resist. So God's creations have always been because God has always been. Your creations have always been because you can create only as God creates, being an extension of God. Eternity is yours because God created you eternal. That means that you, and you could capitalize the you in that circumstance. That's one of the ones where I'm sure they argued about it. Helen said no. So they left. The word eternal now maps back to creations and to love, therefore defining you.
Why would she say no to that?
I cannot defend Helen because Ken, who lived and worked with her, could not defend Helen. I shall not try. She was very ornery, and she had a very big ego, and she began to take ownership of the material, and it was just a part of her personality.
Oh, okay.
And she felt if she felt particularly threatened, she would take control. That's the best I can do for what I could, reading in between the lines, Ken throwing his hands up and saying there were things I just couldn't do.
In other words, I couldn't fight her about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then anyway, Sundari.
So from sentence 7, God's creations have always been because he has always been. I think that's when I decided that God and I had the same birthday. We must have the same birthday too, and it must be right now. Right, Andrew?
That's it. You got it. That's it. I love it. Okay. Ready? Let's do some speed reading. Back to page 450. 450 in the text. Happy birthday, everybody.
Happy birthday.
And happy birthday, everybody. And while you're at it, happy birthday. Paragraph 9. He says, we've already said that wishful thinking is how the ego deals with what it wants to make it so. Okay, we covered that. There's no better demonstration of the power of wanting. Now, wanting is a progenitor of creating and of making and of all sorts of things. It's not evil. It's like desire. Desire is a progenitor. You must make a design before you build the bridge. Yes? If you're going to build a barbecue pit in the backyard and you're going to put a nice tall a smoker cabinet on it, a little build it into the rocks that already exist in the back, shouldn't you draw the rocks and then start drawing the bricks and see how it would look? How many bricks do you need? And you're going to put a pizza oven in it too? Why not? How about you put a little extra 5-inch slot right above the fire for a pizza oven? You're going to have to desire that before it could possibly happen. Is that fair? Okay, so it's not evil, but it is a use of mind, and it has a lot to do with choice. So the power of wanting is no idle power. There's no better demonstration of the power of wanting and therefore of faith. Wow, look at him pouring on. The power words here, faith, power, wanting, okay? To make the ego's goals seem real and possible. That is what you've accomplished with this world. It's fantastic. You've used faith to make your body seem like all you are. You've used faith. You've used wanting. You've used a power of creation to imagine a world where you're not what you actually are. And that you were going to die. Lights out. About 1.5 billion heartbeats, and most of us here have done more than half of those, and then you're out. That's what you've made. You've used faith to do it, and you think it's true. I've told you so many times, right? The only problem you have is that in your heart and in your mind, you totally know something that's not true. And that's your block to the awareness of love's presence, because you have that. That's what this book is here to dispel. I love that sentence. There's no better demonstration of the power of wanting, and therefore the power of faith, to make the ego's goals seem real impossible. Wow! That's power we're talking about, Ross.
Yeah, you almost said what was on my mind, but it's real because you believe it's... You believe it, but it's just not true, which you've separated those two words before.
But, yes!
But it's real for you because you believe it. So all of this, faith in the unreal, the perception of a fearful world, yes. What you desire you will see, that's all real for you.
Yes.
But not true.
But it's, not true. It does not pass the test of truth. I really like that. Good. You could really feel that two-sided coin there, that razor's edge. You bet. You bet. What good is it to have the entire world and yet gain the entire world and yet lose your own soul? That's how it's phrased in the Bible.
In the last sentence, too. And if its reality is false, you will uphold it by not realizing that your belief is what's upholding it, by not realizing all the adjustments you have introduced to make it so.
There's an entire section that talks about that one word, Ross.
Adjustments. And that you could substitute belief for that word in this sentence, yeah?
You bet. And fantasy.
So, 'cause there's an entire what?
An entire section in the Course in Miracles.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty recent. I mean, it's so focused on that perverse little maneuver of the ego to adjust, and try to fit the outcome of suffering in the world. Here it is.
But it also
429.
It also says if you take away that belief, it just all evaporates. Just like the dream that it is. It'll all evaporate as long as you...
Bingo.
You take away the adjustments or the belief.
A sure sign that it's not
true. All evaporates.
A sure sign that it's not true. Which is also told us in lesson 133 as a test.
I guess you would also have to say that there can't be any exceptions to your taking away that belief. Because as soon as you have an exception... And you say, well, yeah, but this part of it's this. I still believe this part of it. You're not there.
Slippery slope.
You're holding on to that one little piece of belief that's holding up this whole world, that's holding your whole world together.
And that makes the entire illusion stay intact.
Just that one little tiny belief that you're holding on to.
But if you let go of that one little tiny belief, there's the holy instant.
Could be
immediately, right?
As long as it's
so, there's so much that we can do.
But I'll tell you, Barbara,
dream.
A lot of spiritual programs and books and teachings to try to help you just let go.
Right.
You get big silent retreats, and you eat special food, and you got mantras and music, and you just get so whipped up into a spiritual frenzy, you feel like you let the whole world go, and it really is great. But you come back home, and your whole world kind of starts choking you. The water closes in around you. You got to start treading water again, you know, some hours, days, weeks after your retreat. Why? Why does that happen? Because letting go is not enough. Forgiveness is not enough. You really do have to have a correction occur around what you're perceiving.
And that's the feeling. That's the feeling that Ross was saying about, I don't understand this, but the feeling that I get from this. And that's what I get when I read the book. And sometimes when I hit words like limitless, I feel limitless. I feel what that word means.
Yes, you feel it.
Yes.
You can't even describe how you feel.
Perspective of the Holy Spirit. And that's just an instant of holy instant.
Indeed.
And it's delicious.
Tim, what do you got?
And you can't make it happen, but it does happen.
Right. You have to let it happen.
It's fleeting.
Yes.
And that's what I think is the attraction of this book.
Yes. Okay, Tim's hand was not up. My cursor was resting on his perfect space on his little square. Looked like his hand was up. Oh, that's funny. Yes, indeed. A word like limitless. I love it. It has a feeling of eternity to it. Yeah. Okay, how much time do we have? We have just enough time not to finish this, so let's do it. Okay. So, look at, this is on page 450, paragraph 9. He says, okay, we went through the adjustments already. Right? Faith in the unreal leads to adjustments of reality to make it fit the goals of madness, which you can do with your mind. It's very powerful. You really have a powerful mind. You can get what you, keyword now, it's a four-letter word, want. In the hands of the ego, it can bring you into darkness. In the hands of the Holy Spirit, it will bring you into light. Want.
I just have to say that the more I read this book, the more I'm still confused about how to act in the world. You know, I feel like there has to be a shift there.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, when you've got certain kinds of demands, and I'm not saying let's enter this discussion now because it's the end of the group, but I'm just saying.
No, hey, listen, everybody has, especially early on in the course, you start to feel the love and think the love, then how do you act the love? How do you work it out through the world? You bet. Believe me, Barbara, that will be, let me just put a big picture on what you're doing, that will be your contribution to love, my dear. Not, I can't do, Ross can't live your life for you. I can't live your life for you. You know what you're going to do? Love will enter your heart and your mind. You'll have a few holy instances, and then you will start to contribute to love, living your life without fear and with tolerance and certainty. So that's what you will start doing in the world.
Yeah.
Okay. And just as a note, on page 429, there's a whole section called Sin as an Adjustment. It's adjustment, Ross. The whole section is talking about how perverse the ego tries to bend its experience to try to make separation a good thing.
Ken Wapnick always says, act normal. Don't be a weirdo and, you know, tell everyone that at a funeral that there is no death. It doesn't go over very well.
Right.
So of course
you
not.
You say the appropriate things. You say, I'm sorry for your loss. Your thinking is there is no death. But you say, there is, you know, I'm sorry for your loss. Gee, you know, whatever is appropriate. You act appropriately.
You're going to stumble back and forth.
I've spent 57 years learning how to act appropriately, even though I don't feel the way I act. So, you know, this is how I think. It's not how I act.
Right. Yep. But now you notice When you act that's not in alignment with how you've been thinking, you recognize that that is now dishonesty.
Well, no, I can, if I'm at a funeral, I can empathize and feel sorry for their loss.
But that would be honest, because you recognize that these are suffering egos and minds whose hearts have been ripped out, like your heart has been ripped out before, and you get it. So you can join that, no problem.
Right.
And you should, if you want to show up and be helpful in that moment. However, you do not promote it. You don't deny it, and you do not promote it, but you can share what their heart is calling for, which is love. You can be there loving. Absolutely. Don't miss that opportunity. Don't ever miss it. Yeah. Yeah. See, now, what happens, Ross, is an alignment is, and Barbara, an alignment starts to occur. Now that you have several holy instances where your heart has woken up and you've had a holy instant, like what Ross is describing, and also any time that you've chosen to not attack and forgive instead, because you knew that this was just meaningless. The ego stirred you up and it's meaningless. So you're not going to get excited. You're not going to fear. You're not going to attack. You're not going to assign guilt. You're just going to let it go, because it really is nothing. That's miracle and forgiveness. And the next breath you take is a holy instant. You do that enough times, now you'll want to live your whole life that way. To do that, you have to start being honest. Honest. What does honest mean? Honest actually means consistent. That what you think and what you say and what you do are all the same. That's honest. That's on page 11 in the Manual for Teachers, by the way.
Thinks they do.
What you think?
Believe.
Okay, what you think inside, what you say, and then what you do. They're all aligned. They're all in agreement. Imagine spending one day like that. Everything you do was in alignment with what you said, which also agreed with what you were personally, quietly, privately thinking. You were thinking what you said, and that's what you did. Wow! How about a day like that? How would that feel? You'd have absolutely no chaos in that entire day. You're perfectly aligned.
And then another thing going on with the funeral example is that if you believe that it's not real, then why would you put it down?
Nice.
But since it's not real, you don't have to be for it or against it. So in saying that I'm sorry for your loss, your belief is it's not real. So why would you be either for or against it? You can say I'm sorry for your loss and feel it, but you're still consistent because what you're believing is it's not real. The birthday celebration that I did today, and we ate cake and everything, I know there is no birthday, but that doesn't mean I can't enjoy the cake. And
in other words, if you think that it's wrong to say I'm sorry for your loss or dangerous to say I'm sorry for your loss, you're in the hands of the ego, the spiritual ego.
You're saying that death is real, or you're saying that birthdays is real if you're against celebrating birthdays.
Yes.
It's almost like this neutral ground where, well, I know birthdays aren't real. Doesn't mean I can't enjoy the cake, help her blow out the candles and all of that.
Just put it at the right level inside of you and have a great time.
And still act normal.
Act normal and, in fact, act loving to those who are around you.
Yeah.
It feels good.
And kind.
Yes. You know, it's called turn the other cheek in the Bible. I think it's a course also. It's been mentioned a few places.
Yeah.
Turn the other cheek is where, just to show yourself, it's also not because you're going to participate in the ridiculousness of the world, but to show yourself that it doesn't matter.
Right.
It's in the Bible, it says if somebody asked you to carry their pack a mile, carry it too.
Yeah.
The reason why is not because you should be so kind to carry their pack for 2 miles. It's for you to understand that carrying the pack doesn't matter.
Right.
This does not hurt you.
It also says that that they are always right at the level of their essence. Their ego is always wrong.
Bingo.
But their essence is always right. So you always agree with them on the spirit, on the level of their essence, because they're right on that.
That means you can always join.
Right.
Beautiful, Ross.
Yeah, so that's beautiful. I think that's a way of saying that, yeah, you just act normal.
Yeah, and look for the love. Always look for the love. Good.
You know,
good.
Where I feel guilty is when I know what to say, and I believe I ought to say it, but I don't feel it, and then I feel guilty for not feeling it.
Ask the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Anytime you feel guilty, this is where the ego's got a hold of you and is trying to drive you back into the body.
Yeah.
And into specific outcomes. Just go right back to love in those moments, Luann.
And if I'm saying I'm sorry for your loss, it's because I'm loving them.
You're joining with them right there. For if it's not an actual statement of love from them, whatever they're saying in that moment, if they're crying their eyes out and saying, why did he leave me? Why did he leave me? I'm so alone. If that doesn't sound like a statement of love to you, doesn't to me, it sounds pretty hurtful. It's a call for love.
Mm-hmm.
In either case, your answer is love. Not ego patching and telling your stories and all the things the ego does.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. You can love any time. There's always the power of love empowers everything. If you look for it. Well, I've run us over. Thanks. Thank you so much for indulging me with this amazing paragraph. Have we finished it enough? Yeah, I think so. It's such an insight into this adjustments thing. I'm really glad that you picked up on that. Like I said, there's a whole section sent on it. He kind of reprises it right here, paragraph 9. Yeah. Your faith is powerful. And there's proof. You made this whole world with it. Now what we're going to do is we're going to turn you inward instead of outward and go back the way you came. You'll be using faith again, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You're using your faith now to return to love, to return to light. And you do this by going in. You do this without questioning and in total trust. And if it doesn't work, your misery will be quickly refunded. Okay, everybody. Thanks again. And I'll see you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Everybody have a good night.